Yes, Prabhu, some question.
Yes, Maharaj. There is a question from Simon Novitz, a musician from UK.
Yes.
So he says, thank you, very insightful and interesting. And the question is, the gopis seem so deep that they seem to be a part of Krishna, like a part of Krishna's body. Are the gopis separate to Krishna or abstractly linked somehow?
The more accurate assessment would be in relation to Srimati Radharani. What comes to mind is actually, it's perhaps the very last sentence of the last purport of Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj in Bhagavad Gita. And I'm paraphrasing, I may not be saying it in the exact words, but this is his concluding words of the Bhagavad Gita. And so he's talking about being, in his language, sometimes reinstated, or in one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna. But he says there something to the effect, you know, thus the jiva resumes her normal position in the pleasure-giving potency. So he's saying the real position is in pleasure-giving potency. That's English for Ladini Shakti. That's pleasure, Ladini, pleasure-giving, Shakti, potency. So, as Guru Maharaj says elsewhere, jivas, they're considered to be atomic particles of Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti we take as like the super servitors of the various rasas. And their Anga Jyoti, or if you want, their halo, but not in the sense of light, but in radiance of their own conception, are those who have similar devotional expression. It's a very beautiful thing, actually. We have a tendency, we think, as soon as we hear Jyoti or light, we think it means like this. You know, there's like wavelengths or whatever it is. I know some science. No, it's actually, I'm not talking, whatever it actually is, not that. because it's all chinmoy. So rather, we're told the light we see here is a reflection of that sort of illumination. But when we speak about spiritual light, jyoti or priti, you know, rupam, jyoti rupam, the form of light. In that world, it means illumination or radiant and what? Of a particular loving tendency. I have to think more on those lines. Another, when one plays, Guru Maharaj says, you know, faith is the halo of Radharani. Right. It's all chinmoy, how Krishna is being revealed. And with regard to the two, where the examples given are saying, you know, sun, like sunlight and heat. You can't separate these things from the conception of the sun. Or what else is given? You know, musk and its scent. The scent is inseparable from that. That's saying, when you think Radha and Krishna, they're inseparable. But they're, you know, delightfully different. And like Thay say, same, same, but different. Right? Saraswati Thakur's language, predominating moiety means half, predominated half. Shaktiman, the potency and the possessor of that potency. Musk and its fragrance, sun, light and heat. In the inaugural issue of the Harmonist magazine, Saraswati Thakur is pointing out that previously Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a publication called the Sadjan Toshini. And he's saying not to think of this publication as different. Thematically the same. The name may be different, but thematically, substantively the same. And he gives an explanation of Sadjan Toshini. So he's saying, Sat in this context, as sometimes Prabhupada said, that means the Supreme Absolute Truth, or it's a reference to divinity, as you will. But he's saying, Sat here, he says, Krishna alone is not the Supreme Truth. And these words have to be understood carefully, because it's not running counter to the conception of Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, Satchitananda. He's using alone here, meaning without another. Right? Because from another point of view, yes, we say Krishna alone, he's the Supreme Truth. Vedanti tat tat vividas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabyate. But here he's using the word alone, meaning like without another. Because if we say, oh no, Guru Maharaj says, reality is for itself and by itself. Again, we have to look at these words very carefully. Saying alone, meaning not with, he's not alone. And this is, this very simple statement is very illuminating, inspiring, and full of hope and prospect. Because from the Judeo-Christian side of, you know, the equation, you get the sense of a lonely God, right? He has no equal, right? There are some angels and they're good, but he has no one who is his peer or equal, what to speak of a feminine counterpart. Many ontological questions are left unanswered or not comprehensively expressed. So just this very statement alone is wonderful, illuminating, and as I say, full of hope and optimism, saying Krishna is not alone. He has what I like to call the better half of the sweet absolute is Srimati Radharani. And so there must be some similarity between them, but also some difference. So she possesses feminine attributes. And even in this world, which is said to be a perverted reflection, still some hint at innately feminine attributes and qualities, which are attractive. We just celebrated the appearance of Mahaprabhu and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the Gaur Purnima. And really, it's in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam that we hear Krishna speaking very candidly in first person. It's of what we've heard from the scriptures in different places. And Krishna, he makes many statements that are full of, you know, infinite meaning. They're clever. There's so many things. But I could say in one sense, rarely do they get really personal and candid, where he's giving you a glimpse into his private thinking. That's really astonishing. Because for the most part, we deal with God, you know, again, the man at the top is alone. You know, he's God, he created everything, but He's alone at the top. You know, it's almost like you think someone like who's so alone, he made some, you know, friends. You know, like I make friends, you know. But not like that. That would be pathetic. We're told from a Vedic perspective, Anandamayobhyasat. He's by nature, he's full of ecstasy and joy. But there's also the expansion of that. Although there's no room for expansion, it's expanding. That concept. How can that be? Yeah. Inconceivable. Achintya kalu ye babas natang starkena yojayat. That which is inconceivable is not subject to finite reasoning. Thank the Lord for that. But as Guru Maharaj said, but if the infinite wants to make himself known to the finite, then there's no, nothing will obstruct that. Not only will finiteness not be, inadequate, but there won't be any impediment to his revealing himself. That said, in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamritam, he's speaking very candidly in first person, revealing some of his private thoughts. And where he says, you know, all the creation is, those in the know, the Kovido, that they're mad about me. If someone can really go in the proper direction theistically, then they're those who are Krishna loving people, you know, punyo gandak prativyam cha tejas, the fragrance of the earth, all these wonderful aromas we experience, that reminds them of Krishna. Right? What to speak of, he has his own fragrance, which he says drives others mad. But he says there, but the fragrance of my beloved, that makes me crazy, drives me mad. Oh, we never thought from his side. Like when Guru Maharaj presented Loving Search for the Lost Servant, he said the latest, you know, or a progression and a sequence. So he said in the beginning, we had search for Sri Krishna, the reality, the beautiful, how the devotees are searching for Krishna. And if you understand the structure of that book thematically, it culminates in Krishna as a devotee, Mahaprabhu, searching for himself, like Radharani. So, but Guru Maharaj said, now we will show from the other side that the Lord is searching for his lost servants. Again, that's good news for us, right? Because if we think, does he have the capacity to care about us individually? Say, there's so many, how do you keep track of them all? We're our own worst enemy. How is it possible? I mean, that you could know everybody. Well, you know, parma, you know, brahmeti, paramatmeti, well, a little bit of paramatma. By his paramatma expansion, his accompanying every soul, we're told, like two birds on the karmic tree, one bird enjoying the fruits, the other bird as a neutral, passive, non-interfering observer. So he knows, and that is astonishing, that he knows every single person personally and their entire history. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna tells Arjuna, many births we've had, because Arjuna's saying, you said, you know, imam vivasvate yogan proktavan aham avyayan, vivasvan manave praha, etc. Manur vakave bravit. You gave the karma yoga to the sun god. Well, that must have been, you know, millions of years ago. How could you do that? You know, the sun god is so much older than you. Krishna, many births you and I have had, Arjuna. I remember all of them, you don't. And boy, is that an understatement. So we think that we know ourselves better than anyone, right? And if we can find someone in the world, we think, they really get me. They really know me. That's why I have so much love for X, Y, or Z. Because they get me. They know, you know. They're my best friend, and, you know, not to dismiss that, but to dismiss that. Because Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvam Mam Shantam Rasati. You want relief from the anxiety of material existence, feeling alone, this, that, and the other thing. Krishna's saying, I am your dearmost friend. I know everything about you. How much? More than you know. That's what he's telling Arjuna. Arjuna, there are births you've had you don't remember, but not only do I remember all of mine, I remember all of yours. So that puts me in a unique position to understand you, actually. I'm saying, and we will think, is there such a person who's like that? Should we expect God to be anything less than that? Absolute implies this. The absolute has this ability to have a personal relationship with every living being simultaneously. Absolute must be nothing less than that. So, but still, that's good news for us. Oh, how wonderful is Krishna, and we benefit from Krishna. When we smell the beautiful flowers in this world, that we can trace back to Krishna, and we hear his fragrance is, you know, madly intoxicating, and this Krishna is saying, but personally, from my side, Radharani has this kind of, the kind of effect that I have on you is the kind of effect that she has upon me. The world's driven mad by the sound of my flute, right? He's saying, but the sound of her voice, he said, is more sweet to me than the kokil. In this world, the kokil is, her voice is more, infinitely sweeter than the kokil. That sound. But everyone else thinks the sound of my flute, even Radharani, that's making her mad, but her sound is making me mad. So for each sense, Krishna is revealing something personal about himself, and in the process, glorifying her position. But with regard to the flute of Krishna, we would be remiss. Not to Rupa Goswami, should know something about that. Right? Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, one place Saraswati Thakur said, this Sri Rupa, how to understand the separated beauty of Radharani. That in itself is inconceivable. But that Rupa Goswami, in one place, says, Rundanambu Britas Chamat Kritipuram Kurbam Buhus Tumburum Dhyana Dantarayam Sanandama Sanandanamukam Vishmapayam Vedasam Otsukya Balibir Balim Atulayam Bogendrama Gurnayam Bibrad Bibrad Andagatam Gatim But Brahma Bangshi Dwani Andagatam. Yeah, the cracking of the universal shell. Saying when the sound of, when Krishna makes the sound of his flute, generally the world, like sometimes Anda means an egg, Jagadanda means the universe are like eggs, but very large eggs. Like, you know, a billion kilometers wide. This, they're large, but like eggs. And so, like, it has a shell. And those shells are, they're an eight-layered shell. Or, you know, Bhumira Po and Alobayo, etc. And since the sound of Krishna's flute cracks a hole and the shell of the universe, and then it enters the universe. And the beginning, the Brahma Loka, the higher planetary systems, then it works away around the whole universe. Just the sound of Krishna's flute. And so Rupa Goswami is saying, what is the effects of the sound of Krishna's flute? That like clouds that are raining, stop, they're like frozen. Right? You know, stones melt, everything, rivers, free, they become like stop motion on account, they just stop flowing. And things that are solid start flowing, melting. And Gandharva leader, Tumburu, the leader of all the Gandharva, that means, you know, the best musicians, the best singer, saying, I've never heard music like this. arguably the greatest musician in the universe saying, this is beyond me. How does he do it? Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says in one place, Krishna, although he's playing different tunes on his flute, he has the ability to play all the notes on the scale simultaneously, but it's different tunes. And not like when you put your elbow on an organ, okay? Not like that. Something very beautiful. Then what? Dhyana Antarayam Sananda Namukam. And the four Kumaras, who are they're Kumaras of the divine type, means they never go past the Kumar stage, which means a child. So one of the implications of that is they're not bothered by mundane sensuality. Right? They're like way beyond that. From a material, we'll say there's nothing material about them, but just to help us understand the context. So the four Kumaras, nothing, in other words, nothing disturbs them in their meditation. Nothing ever disturbs them in their meditation. So how did they achieve their position? Speaking of fragrance. Kasyaravinda nayana shapadaravinda kinjalkamisra tulasi makaranda vayu antargatasva vivarena chakaratesham sankshobham aksharajusham apichitta tanbo. In this world, sometimes people inhale fragrances and it alters their mood. Right? But here, we're told, they inhale the fragrance of the lotus feet of Krishna and the tulsi, and their whole existence is, it was not just elevated their mood or made them feel better. Their whole existence changed. They opened up, the whole Vaikuntha world became open to them from the fragrance of Krishna. And that Krishna's saying, but Radharani, she has that effect upon me. But these Kumaras, now with sound, when those who are never disturbed by anything, they can meditate, maintain their meditational focus always. It's saying, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they can't concentrate. This is why. So from each place, he's giving us like a different reaction to the flute of Krishna. So the greatest meditators of all time, the four Kumaras, suddenly they can't concentrate. Right? And Brahma, he's thinking, this is not something created by me. I know what I created within the world. I was empowered to do it, but this sound is not my creation. Simple statement. What coming from Brahma, what does it tell us by inversion applied to analysis? That it's out of this world. It's otherworldly. It's transcendental. It's spiritual. But not just in the generic off-the-shelf sense. But a Prakriti, why the flute? This one lady in Hungary once, the lead girl translator, her mother had some objection to her participation in Krishna consciousness. And when I was having a meeting with her, and so see this, the idea of Krishna being a cowherd, this was too much for her. But if I said, the Lord is my shepherd, you don't have a problem with that. But it's like sheep, herd, cow, herd, like cow herd problem, sheep, herd, okay. I'm saying, think about what you're saying. Well, I don't know anyone in this country. You know, where this isn't about this country. Right? Always your country and, you know, the piece of land that you plopped out on, from your mama. Not that country. Boma Ijidi. But the Aprakrita Leela of Krishna. So that is the deceptive simplicity of Krishna Leela, the human-like pastimes, a bamboo flute. How much Radharani is absorbed in thinking of Krishna? Like, we have so many bamboo here. We're lovers of bamboo. And particularly the yellow bamboo. Don't ever, like, cut the yellow bamboo. You can see it's rare. But sometimes the bamboo, maybe it's old, something happens where the wind goes through the bamboo and it starts making a flute-like sound. So when the wind goes through the bamboo, Radharani thinks it's Krishna playing his flute, and she starts running towards the bamboo, thinking it's Krishna. She embraces a tamal tree because their blackish color reminds her of Krishna. So many things. It gives us a hint that her vision, she's seeing Krishna everywhere and everything, which we're told this is symptomatic of a Mahabhagavatam, the general. I mean, in this case, they would be the general. Yes. So what to speak of the greatest devotee of all time, how she sees everything as Krishna or indicating Krishna. How Brahma. And then was the next line? Otsukya Bali. Oh, and the bottom, now this flute sound, remember, it's going throughout the universe. So like Brahma and the Gandharva higher plane. Now the flute sound's making its way towards the southern hemisphere of the universe, we'll say. There's Bali Maharaj and saying, it's just utterly astonishing to him. And remember, he knows Vamandev. But this flute, this sound is just astonishing him. And then we're told, and what is the planets and everything, whether it's the planets or the universe, or resting on the heads of Anantadev. It says like so many mustard seeds. And those who are cooks know about the mustard seed, right? There's black mustard seeds, yellow, right? They're very, very tiny mustard seeds. Has anyone seen a banyan tree seed? It might even, huh? Did someone? Oh. But they're also, I don't know if they're small, but they're also very small, because it's what Gurudev said, like how out of the Gayatri, the Guru Maharaj's explanation and the Bhagavatam springs out of that and out of the flute sound of Krishna. Gayatri Murli Stikirtana Dhanam Radha Padam Dhimai. What Gurudev said, what is Krishna's fluting matter? The lotus feet of Radharani, Radha Dasyam. But here, so Bali Maharaj is astonished. He's on the southern hemisphere, the very southern part. And all the planets, whatever you want to say, planets on the heads of Ananta, which look, you know, like in this world, similar to the cobra, the beauty of a cobra. And we're told that hearing that sound, that his heads start to sway, like intoxicated. And it's like the planet, they're going to slip off the heads. So, Bibram Andakata. Anda means egg, but here means universe, the universal shell. But Brahma Bhangshi Dwani. Gurudev liked that part because it's like, but Brahma Bhangshi Dwani. The sound vibration of Krishna's flute has this effect. So it's so extraordinary. And what does Krishna say? The voice of Radharani has that type of effect on me. On and on, ad infinitum, her qualities. That she, Krishna, in this world, we have Madan, Cupid, What's the Russian word for Cupid? There you go. Cupido. From Greek and Latin and wherever it comes from. Yes. It's always something similar to that. In Sanskrit, you have a few words. Ananga. Kandarpa. Madan. So it's one Cupid driving everyone mad. Love makes the world go round. Right? It's, as Freud said, the Eros is the driving principle of material existence. So one Cupid bewildering world. But we're told, Kandarpa Koti Kamini Avishesha Shobham. Thank you. That Krishna, like 10 million Cupids, if 10 million Cupids in their full-blown cupidity, and I mean the word here, I'm repurposing that word. It's cupidness when I say it. 10 million Cupids in full-blown cupidity, like personified as one. That's the seductive charm of Krishna. And here the word 10, the number, numerical value of 10 million is being used because our minds, you know, don't compute what is achintya. So that's about as far as we go. So he's saying, he has that type of draw. And so much so, we're told, Madan Mohan. As everyone in the world is bewildered by Madan or Cupid, Krishna bewilders Madan. Cupid is overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty. So Madan Mohan. Mohan means who charms or bewilders. But what is Radharani's name? Madan Mohan Mohini, who bewilders the bewilderer of Cupid. That's her position. So in Charitamritam, we can't say much about this, but just to answer the question, it's sometimes comparing Radharani like a vine, and all the gopis, they're more like the leaves on that. Just like you have on a tulsi, the vine, and then you have like leaves, and then manjaris, right? So it's saying they, through her, they come in contact with Krishna. Really, it's more appropriate to think that way. And we're told that experience is inconceivably wonderful. But it's always, so it's there visually, graphically, thematically, and every other way, that the real substantial connection with Krishna will always come through her. Because then we come back to the constitutional position of a jiva soul, being an atomic particle of chit shakti. Right? That means here you have the infinite Krishna, right? And an infinitesimal jiva. Now the infinitesimal jiva is going to interact with Krishna. On a direct interaction, what is the capacity for exchange? Although a drop of the infinite is infinite, still, we can understand the finite capacity of the infinitesimal jivas. Srimati Radharani is not finite. Right? She's the other half, the better half of Krishna. She's his equal. He's Rasaraj. She's Mahabhav. What does that mean? Why this type of thing? It means she can extract from Krishna on an equal level. So she can extract the highest quality of rasa and the highest quantity of rasa from Krishna. Jiva soul only cannot that quality or quantity, not even close. So she can extract the highest quality and the highest quantity of rasa. Therefore, Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. But out of gratitude to her assistants and servitors, she's letting them have a taste of Mahabhav, which is otherwise beyond the constitutional capacity of a jiva soul to experience. So by Radharani's grace, they have a taste of this inconceivably wonderful substance. And with regard to Srila Guru Maharaj, once you've had a taste of that substance, he said, what to speak of all other tastes, all other rasas become tasteless compared to this. That's an incredible statement. So, Ananda Chinmaya Pratibhavitabhis, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratitabhibhavi, Tadbirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabi, Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatmabhuto, Govinda Maripurusham Tamaham Vajami. Krishna's side of expansion, really proper, is the avatars, Vishnu Tattva, like that. The avatars, so many, Purusha avatars, etc. Then in Shakta Vesh avatars, you start getting, some sort of like a divine mixture. But Radharani is on the other side. She also, as he is expanding, she's also expanding. So three principal expansions are in order of importance. Well, I mean, if we went one, higher, you know, perfect, more perfect, most perfect. The Lakshmis of Vaikuntha, the Mahishi queens of Dwaraka, the Gopis of Vrindavan. And this world, the gods and goddesses are also within this plane. We can take it to be like a reflection. So the Shakti side, Jiva is Shakti. Jiva Shakti. Krishna's side means, you know, the Vishnu Tattva. Everything we take it coming from Krishna, but Rupa Goswami, no less than Rupa Goswami, is given this sort of delineation and analysis and Laghu Bhagavatamritam and elsewhere. And it also comes from Mahaprabhu and his teachings, the Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So that's makes it even more special, that this is within the teachings of Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And in consideration of who is Mahaprabhu, that makes it even more decisive. So what was the question originally? Just this line I want to remember.
Are the gopis separate to Krishna or abstractly linked somehow?
Well, right. So Radharani is the link. Yeah. But as Saraswati, to finish that first one, as Saraswati Thakur, that Krishna is not alone means, alone is not the supreme absolute truth, means Radhan Krishna. Radha and Krishna, they're Sat. Sajjan, put together Sajjan, Sandhi. Sajjan means, Jan means like the people, but it means like who they consider their own is more to the point. Whom they consider their own. Think about that. Whom Radha, because people can make all kinds of observations about things or self-identify. But here, these words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are so carefully selected and so profound. He's saying, Sajjan really means whom they consider their own. That's who we're interested in. Not someone who is boasting this, that, or the other thing. Right? Ostentatious displays of achievement. Those whom they consider their own are concealing their position, as opposed to the ostentatious display of achievement of the neophyte or the sahajya imitationist, they're concealing their position. Or the Prema Gandasti Dharapi Mehoro, saying, I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna Prema, what to speak, a drop of that divine substance. Sajjan, and what is the attempt that he's saying of this publication? Sajjan Toshini, we want to please them whom Radha and Krishna consider their own. In the first sloka of the Bhagavatam, which is expanding upon the theme of the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasya Yataha. You know, these aphorisms there, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you've acquired the human form, engage in spiritual inquiry. That's the one thing you can do as a human being that no other species can do. So then you might think, maybe that's what we're meant to do, is what only we can do uniquely. Right? Others do, even animals, they have affection for their offspring. Right? Here, what? So now you should do that one thing that you were unable to do in any other species, which is this sort of Brahma Jigyasa, to inquire about. Really, it's at the core of your identity. And this is not a peripheral, anecdotal, or, you know, secondary concern. It's primary, especially if you factor in that you're living in the world of mortality. So that means you have a limited amount of time for this sort of inquiry, if you're, you know, keeping score, right? So you have this is what you should be doing. So in the midst of, what is it? Ahara nidraya baya maitunam cha. You know, in the midst of doing those things that everybody has to do, which are just part of living in this world, you have a limited amount of time for this spiritual inquiry, right? That's why Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, oh, this question you've asked, what is the duty of one in life specifically for one who is about to die? Hey, considering that we're all about to die, it's just, you know. Janardha Maharaj was reminding me, you know, the end of the movie Blade Runner. I'll just throw something out there. So they're going, what? The theme of the movie is supposed to be like, what does it mean really to be human? What's the difference between a human and a robot? And the last line of the movie where the man's going with the robot-like girl, you know, off into the sunset, and the detective says, it's too bad she has to die. And then he says, but so does everybody else. That's the point. So Sukadeva is saying, so not only is it a relevant question for one who's, you know, has advanced information about impending death, but everybody in this world is dealing with mortality. So this is the relevant question. It's relevant to everybody. It's not just something that's unique to you. So I like that you've asked this. This is the question to ask, right? And that Sukadev, as by way of introducing himself, Parinishitopi Nayargunye Uttama Shloka Lilaya Grihita Cheta Rajar Se Akyanam Yaraditavan. Again, like the Kumaras, similar, you can say, just for the sake of story, like a Brahmavadi, not a Mayavadi, but a Brahmavadi, spiritually realized, Nirguna plane. So he's saying, everyone knows, it's legendary that I was already realized within the womb of my mother. It's not like I came out and then, you know, followed a path and then, not like that. That's why he's legendary. Oh, this is that Sukadev. We've heard about him. He was liberated in the womb of his mother, so much so as he thought there was no compelling reason to come out of his mother's womb. So he stayed there for a long time, like many years. Like, what was it, 9 months? You know, he came out like fully developed. So he's a legend. And not even a trace amount of interest in the mundane or exploitive tendency. That's why this seemingly anecdotal tale in the Bhagavatam where it says, you know, remember Veda Vyas is writing the Bhagavatam. He's right, especially the intro. Because Sutta Goswami later, but he's writing this and he's recalling because he wants to introduce the speaker. Right? And so he doesn't say he's qualified because he's my son. Actually, he's saying he's qualified because he did not acknowledge the father-son relationship. Because Sukadev, he's leaving the ashram of Veda Vyas, where the jujube, you know, the fruit and the current of the Sarasvati, it's all more than not symbolic in the symbolic way, but like in the substantial way. The current of the Sarasvati, the Himalayas, the jujube tree, the fruit, Nigama Kalpatrur Galitam Palam, etc. And Sukadev is going, and it goes by the pukura, pond, where Dibya Devi, they're bathing naked. And when Sukadev goes by, they don't bother to cover themselves. When Veda Vyas comes, they're covering themselves. And it says in the Bhagavad, he says, "Oh, my son!" And it says, only the trees echo, like, "Oh, my son, oh, my son," and echo. And he's like, "Oh," he felt something. But they notice these girls, they didn't cover themselves for Sukadeva, but for himself they are. And he's asking them, "Why is that?" And they said, "We can see in his eyes, there's not even a trace amount of a male gaze or exploiting tendency." And he's Veda Vyas. For him, they're covering themselves. It's telling you, who is this Sukadev? He doesn't even have a remote interest in the male-female dynamic. We'll just call it that. So that he could hear about Radha and Krishna and be utterly charmed by that. Eros-based pastimes. And he's charmed by this. It's a way of telling us they're not erotic in the mundane sense of the term. And it's what Narada chastised Vyas for, saying, like, you haven't clearly told the people straight that there's a possibility for this sort of expression and relationship with the supreme entity in the upper world, in the spiritual world. Otherwise, we're so hardwired to this psycho-emotionally that our conclusion will be the only venue for expression is the mundane world. Because the spiritual world, all the spiritual people, they're just sitting, you know, with their eyes closed, smiling in a lotus position. Right? Not like they're doing anything. David Byrne said, heaven is a place where nothing ever happens. Apparently, he hadn't read the Bhagavatam when he wrote that song. Narada is telling Vyas, you have to tell him, heaven is where all possibilities are. This world is limited in its offering because of its mortal nature. But everything that we could want, we could seek here, has its natural, pure, infinite, unlimited, ecstatic expression there. You've got to tell people about this. And so now Vyas is telling the story, and he realizes Sukadev needs to be the loudspeaker to broadcast this, because he is beyond suspicion. No one said, so if he's telling them, as Guru Maharaj said, and you see when Parikshit Maharaj, when they get to the Rasa Leela and those pastimes with Radharani and Braja Gopis, some of the sages, like, you know, their mouths are hanging open. And Parikshit Maharaj, seeing that, he's playing the role of the inquirer. So he said, you told us in the beginning with the Jugupsa Dharmam Krite Anushasana Slok of Narada to Vyas, that Narada condemned Vyas for giving religion, what we generally conceive of religion, because that sort of Kaitava Dharma or cheating religion means that people, not only are they ill-informed about their prospect in the upper world, they'll use religion to remain attached to the mundane world. So you're going to have the exact opposite effect of what you intended. You thought you're giving them something that will regulate their lives and gradually break their attachment and, you know, mukti. But no, what's going to happen is in your name, they're going to just be religious to stay in this world as long as possible, interminably. And so you have to break that. Vidyate hridaya granti chidyante sarvasangshaya chiyante chasya karmani mayi drishte akilatmani. When they realize, oh, there's possible, all this love and affection we seek and loving relationship we seek is possible in the Krishna world. Radhan Krishna, Lalita Vishaka, Nanda Yashoda, Sridham Subham, Subal, it's everyone. The spiritual world is the world of love and affection and relationship. So in that first thing, Janmad Yasya Yataha, that was in the Vedanta Sutra where it said, Janmad Yasya means birth, etc., from which everything is coming from, by which it's being maintained, and ultimately what it will enter into. And that's true. But Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, because Vishwanath is the expert of subtle interpretation and detail. And he said, this Adi, because Adi also means the first, the original, he said, this Adi is a reference to Madhura Rasa, which is the Adi Rasa, the Mukhya Rasa, the principal Rasa. And so he's saying, this can be reinterpreted to say that the Madhura Rasa pastimes of Krishna, are of Radhan Krishna, from that everything is coming. That is astounding. He's saying in the first three words of the Bhagavatam, you're being told this. That Radhan Krishna and their Madhura Rasa are the source of everything. And so this leads Guru Maharaj to conclude, all the other rasas, including, you know, Vatsalya, Sakya Rasa, Dasya Rasa, Shantara, they're all satellites of Madhura Rasa, clients of Madhura Rasa. Guru Maharaj, Madhva said, you know, there's a thing, the devata of that thing, the guru of that thing, and the heart of guru is Nityananda, and then Radha Govinda Chidlilamritam. You can trace everything back this way. But Guru Maharaj beautifully, he said, but I say just the opposite. Radha and Krishna, then from, you know, Balaram, Nityananda Balaram, then the Guruta Tattva, the Devata, the thing. So, but either way you think, it means everything is springing from these divine pastimes. But there in that world, Krishna predominating half, Radharani predominated. So as Prabhupada said, then the jiva, she regains her natural position, her normal natural position in the pleasure-giving potency. And this is corroborated by Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. And we will pay attention to, I just want to add this. We will pay attention to how they present things as well when we consider things, how they've presented it. If for some reason we don't understand why it was told that way or the sequencing, most often it means we need some ontological adjustment, right? Till we come in consonance with the very way things have been presented. So in that way, all of these things become significant. That's why we're mentioning what Vishwanath says in his commentary, what Mahaprabhu taught to Rupa and Sanatan. There's a a connecting thread thematically that's always consistent. So in the general sense, of course, you say, Jive Swarupai Krishnira Nityadas. This is the, when Sanatana Goswami, this is the teaching of Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami's question is, Kayami Kene Amoy Jaritabitroy. Who am I and why am I suffering from the threefold miserable conditions? Adiatmic, Adidevotic, Adidevic. Self-induced misery, misery due to others, can be insects or like we hear, or sometimes people are very annoying. Adidevic, you know, what they call an insurance policy, acts of God. They always say, we don't cover acts of God. That's mighty humble of you. So he says, Iha nahi jani, if I don't know this, kamone hito hoy, then how can I know what's good for me? We assume everyone is supposed to be self-interested, right? It's just, you know, for better or for worse, we're self-interested, right? There's some political philosophies say, good, you know, Ayn Rand, a lady from Petersburg. No one in Russia knows who she is. Half of the people in America follow her. Thank the Lord she's no longer with us. But but she'd say, everything's, only do something if it's in your self-interest. That should be the motivation for everything you do. Is it in your self-interest? And it's just, you know, the goddess Saraswati speaks through the Asuric because we could say, on the one hand, we reject that as being selfish. Even the greatest atheist, one of the greatest atheists of the 20th century said, do we really need a book to tell us that we should be more selfish? But that said, if it's goddess Saraswati speaking through her, then what she's saying is true. Yes, everything should be motivated by what? Your ultimate self-interest. Shreyas, prayas and shreyas. Shreya uttamam, shabde pare janishnaktam brahman upasamasrayam. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. You should get a guru, you're a human being, get a guru and inquire what is in your ultimate self-interest. And as it turns out, the central interest of the Supreme Absolute, that is in your self-interest. As much as pouring water on the root of a tree nourishes all the branches of limbs, putting food in the stomach nourishes the whole body. Serving the central conception of the Sweet Absolute, it's in your ultimate self-interest. So in this way, it becomes true. But why did I say that? Because of... Read back to me a little bit. Thank you. So Sanatana, if I don't know that, and what is Mahaprabhu's answer? First part, who am I? Jive Swarupai Krishnera Nitya Das. The Swarup of the Jiva. That's what Jiva is. Your original personal form, your actual self, is what? The eternal servant of Krishna. And then next line is interesting too. He says, and well, like, you mean like I'm Krishna or, you know, no, servant of Krishna or what, you know, Mam Eva Ansa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, they're my Ansas, my parts, in what way? Krishnara Tatasta Shakti, Beda Bed Prakash. Saying, and you are the Tatasta Shakti of Krishna. So you're Shakti of Krishna on that side of the equation. And what kind of Shakti? Tatasta, marginal, on the outskirts of the Chit Shakti. Hare Krishna. Beda Beda Prakash. And there's some same, but different. That's Beda Veda Prakash. So we need to understand it as it's being, that was the point I'm trying to, as it's being expressed. Of course, many questions will come from time to time, but then consider how it's being expressed to us, and we'll find repeatedly that there's a system, and we need to become acquainted with the system. If we follow the system and the ontological method, then we won't be backed into like an ontological corner or dilemma or something upasidantic. So what I mean to say, we're all eternal servants of Krishna. That's the general, of course, Krishna's the answer to everything. I once was saying, with this math teacher, algebra teacher I had, just to tease him, because he said, he had a southern accent, and he said, he's trying to tell us something about math, and he said, in math, we don't say nothing, we write zero. So he's saying nothing is a word. He said, in math, we want to eliminate words. So we don't say nothing, we write zero. And I said, oh, I'm just the opposite. I said, I'm taking your mathematics and turning them into words. So I said, I have a theory that there is an absolute integer, which is the answer to all mathematical problems. And he said, that's too theoretical for me, you know. But Krishna, he's the answer, he's the absolute integer who, you know, like we say, zero, put a one to zero, becomes 10, to two zeros, it becomes 100, to three, it becomes 1,000. Krishna gives value to everything. So he's always there, of course. But when we get more specific, we're eternal servants of Krishna. Then what type of servant? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura. Then the type of Krishna. Sometimes Krishna Das means Radha Dasi. That's also possible. That is our guru. It's not only, that is our Radhika Madhavasham, our aspiration. As Guru, Gayatri Murli Stakirtana Dhanam Radha Padam Dimahi. Krishna's flute song is really the song of service to the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So it'll be not only helpful, but most beneficial for us to become acquainted with the Siddhanta and how it is being expressed and see that it's consistently, it's thematic, and there's always a connecting thread from one to the other. And if we don't see that, it's usually on us. So then we have to look at these things more carefully. Just like Guru Maharaj said, in speaking, we may answer something in a general way and then later think, oh, I could have answered this better. He said, it will lead you to greater scrutiny in your study of the scriptures. So it's a good thing that you can't necessarily answer everything and even if you got something wrong, it's good. He said it will send you to the books with greater urgency and scrutiny, and you'll benefit from that. So we want to see that what is expressed in the Gita, in the teachings of Mahaprabhu, Rup, Sanatan, the Bhagavatam commentators, there's a connecting thread, a Chinmoy connecting thread, and it's something that's very beautiful as well.